there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
Jeff, we're 2 weeks away.
2 weeks away?
It's fast approaching.
Is it almost time?
It's almost time. It's almost time for the fat boys to finally celebrate summer.
Got to go find somewhere that sells a 5X Speedo.
I think I about said Excelebrate, which I don't know what that means.
We excel while we're accelerating, Jay.
Maybe 3 weeks. We're going to have to play it by ear. We might have to miss a week, but
We might. I don't know. Maybe we could do like a bonus stocking stuffer or something that week.
Yeah, if we can't get it nailed down, we'll get it figured out. But
rest assured, Fat Boy Summer is coming.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming hard. It's coming fast. No, that was inappropriate. Let's talk about this movie. It's full of inappropriate stuff.
All right, Jay. All right. Now, when you first approached me with this movie, I was a little afraid because I thought you said that all the creatures were stirring. But luckily, you informed me that only one was actually stirring.
Yeah. No, all the creatures were stirring. We already did that one.
Yeah. I was afraid that was going to happen again. But then you said it was just one creature stirring this time.
We're doing all the creatures are stirring again. Yet there's two creatures, kind of.
Ostensibly, yes. There's,
but also, I mean, also no creatures. We'll get into it. We'll get into it. Let's deck the halls for 2023's A Creature Was Stirring.
Oh, thank God it's just one.
Released December 12th, 2023. Direct to Shudder. Although maybe had a limited box office release.
I saw like art house theaters had it, like the flick style theaters. They ran it, it seemed like, for like a couple months.
Like, I would have, you know, that's the thing. I think if we had still had like an AMC, we might have gotten it. But
that was the advantage of having such a big movie theater out there that had like 20 screens. They would show smaller stuff.
Yep. Well, and especially AMC owned Shudder, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, just didn't have a chance to see it in theaters. Honestly, I'm kind of glad we didn't get a chance to see it in theaters.
I think I would have been disappointed if I went to the theater for this.
Written by Shannon Wells, directed by Damien Levesque, who has some history with visual effects in horror, as well as a lot of editor credits.
Which I will say, the effects in this movie were pretty well done, considering the low budget.
Yeah. Kind of a big cast. I was really surprised.
No, a lot of the budget, I'm guessing, must have been spent on getting this talent. Because This Is Us is real big with moms, Jay, aged 40 to 60.
Yeah, we got let's start there. Chrissy Metz is Faith. The biggest one for us, I think, is Scout Taylor Compton plays Liz, and we will see her again, some spooktaculars, plural, because I believe she plays Laurie Strode in both the Rob Zombie Halloweens.
She does.
So, something to look forward to there. Look forward to, in quotes.
Yep, we're looking forward to it.
Annalise Basso is Charm. And maybe the closest we'll get to seeing her again right now is if we ever do Ouija Origin of Evil, which I have on good authority is one of the few movies where the sequel is better than the original movie. People love Ouija Origin of Evil, fucking hate Ouija.
Oh, maybe we could add that in as a spooktacular item.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, so we've got big spooktacular news this week.
Oh yeah, but real big.
But we'll get to that later. Connor Paolo is Corey. Daniela Mundi is Party Goer. Brisbane Hood is Young Charm. Nicole Holmes is Drug Dealer. And George Schlittle plays the creature. Also, maybe there was a zookeeper in the credits, but I did not get it in on my initial notes.
I don't think they were credited. There is definitely somebody at the zoo, though, going, oh my God, get help.
But maybe that's Drug Dealer. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway,
I don't
know. Tagline, and it wasn't a mouse, which is a great tagline.
Yeah.
What if there had, was there a notable scene in this movie with a mouse? That would have been great if initially there had been a notable scene with
missed
a mouse.
Opportunity.
Working title of Good Luck Nightingale, which before watching the movie, I was like, what a wild name for this movie. After watching the movie, it kind of makes sense.
This also was not originally supposed to be set at Christmas, but Shudder was like, we need Christmas horror movies. And they're like, okay, we can set it at Christmas.
Hey, I mean, one, that does kind of show, but two, not to put the cart before the horse here, but they do a great job with the Christmas lights and stuff, at least.
Yes. Good use of LED lighting.
Yep. One of those things I love. I love a movie that's like mostly lit by Christmas lights, and there's a lot of that in this movie.
Yes.
Filmed in Louisville, Kentucky. You know, Louisville, famous for its five-day-long blizzards.
That's Louisville. Jay, you got to say it like a hillbilly.
Yeah, Louisville.
Louisville.
The reason I knew that there was maybe a theatrical release, there was a box office of 31,081. But couldn't find a budget. And
the budget, I think, because Shudder's budgets are always hard to find, but somebody who claimed to be one of the producers that worked on it at Shudder said it was about $2.5 million.
Whoo. Yeah. That's a lot.
I mean, it's a lot, but then you factor in that the cast probably took up at least half of that.
Yeah.
And then you're not left with a whole lot for the rest.
Where to watch? On Shudder.
Yes.
Or you could buy a DVD copy or a Blu-ray copy.
Cool box art.
Yeah. And it's a great poster.
Where else are you going to see a were-porcupine, Jay?
Right. Man, we'll get into it. I didn't really have any personal experience with this. I knew it had come out, and I had, you know, doing kind of the, especially around like November, Shudder will start kind of teasing their titles, but I always kind of check like Dread Central and stuff like that to see if like maybe like I'll search Christmas and like on the Dread Central site and see if there's any kind of new news. So I had heard about this, but I wasn't anything that like really stood out to me. And I was just like, well, I'll add it to the list when I get a chance. And like, but didn't set out to watch. It wasn't a Christmas Bloody Christmas where I saw the trailer and I went in, like, I got to see this movie. This movie was made for me. Like I was like, okay, there's a movie called A Creature Was Stirring and there's some kind of monster in a house and there's a home invasion. All right. I'll check it out when it pops up on the wheel.
I'm glad I went into this one blind. I think it was more fun that way.
Yeah. I agree. I think knowing too much might have made the movie even harder to watch than it might have already been.
I think you're right.
Ready to dive into that synopsis?
Indeed.
All right. We see Faith standing in an open door as a blizzard swarms around her. It's filmed upside down, but it slowly kind of rotates right side up. Faith is wearing scrubs, so we know that she's like a nurse or a doctor of some kind. And we see a bunch of medical supplies on the island in the kitchen that she's in. Faith is kind of snapped out of it by her daughter, Charm, who has been reading Green Lantern 48, cover date of January 1994, Emerald Twilight, number one. Great issue. Have you read the Emerald Twilight story, Jeff?
I have.
All right. Well, as soon as I saw that it was an Emerald Twilight, I went, okay, cool. I know exactly where this movie's going to go.
Because I was like, wait a minute. Isn't that the one where Hal goes nuts and rebuilds the city with his ring? And then she's like, yeah, that's the one where he goes nuts and rebuilds the city with his ring.
And I literally went, oh, well, I know that this is no longer a monster movie. Because I know what happens in Emerald Twilight, and if you're going to shout it out not once, but twice, I know that, there's something going on. Yeah, there's an Emerald Twilight story going on. There's a hero getting corrupted story going on here.
There's a real Superman in Injustice, I think, thing going on here.
Hal Jordan turning into Parallax. Man, random aside. Fucking Geoff Johns. Oh my god. I know people love his Green Lantern run, but I fucking hate it. Like, I liked it early on, and the more it went on, the more I just fucking hated it.
You know what I love, Jay? Crypto and that new Superman trailer.
Yeah. Oh.
I want him.
Oh, Jeff, we're getting to that later. Don't you worry. We'll be doing some Superman talking here in a minute.
Oh, yes. Lots of Green Lantern in this movie, including a Green Lantern sex scene. We'll see you later on.
Loved it. Oh, man. No. I for about 10 years, I was a big Green Lantern fan. And So when I saw that, I was very excited. It was one of those where it's like, I know what's going on here.
Yes. My sister's fiance is a super Green Lantern fan, to the point where he's got an entire wall of Green Lantern action figures.
Nerd. Now, anyway, let's get back to our podcast talking about Christmas horror movies.
Back to the movie. You know, audience, you may notice we're doing a lot of dancing around talking about this movie.
Faith thinks that Charm is getting upset and makes her take her temperature rectally, and then hears a noise in the other room, and we see something moving around.
Something's out there.
They go upstairs to Charm's room, where Faith gives Charm some pills, and Charm puts on a boxing helmet. I forgot how funny that was.
Yeah.
And through like a slat in the door, Charm says in a voice that isn't hers, "You behave out there," and then starts slamming, like making animal noises and slamming her head into the door. Faith listens to this for a second and then covers her ears as the opening credits start to play, set to a haunting version of "What Child Is This?" We get shots of medical supplies, the inside of the house decorated for Christmas, a couple things that say safe temp 102 to 104.
Ah, yes.
Charm acting possessed in her bedroom, and stuff about porcupines in mythology.
Mm.
I was really hoping there'd be more about these porcupines in mythology.
I love the drawing of the porcupine and the big red arrow that just says South America. Like, yeah, that's where they come from, Jay.
Or like, well, I loved like the medieval like porcupine drawing that I.
And I'm like, aren't they a New World animal? How did they know about them in the Middle Ages?
The blizzard still rages outside as Faith gives Charm an ice bath, surrounded by candles, while Faith patches some drywall. Also, at one point, she has Charm take her temperature again, but she takes it orally. And there's a line about how, like, you know, it's more accurate. It's more accurate if you do it the other way. Yeah. And then Charm has a great line about, "I can't. My butthole's frozen shut."
Yep. Yeah, because she's in the ice bath.
Yep. Charm asks Faith what the worst thing she's ever done is. And Faith reluctantly tells her about her days as a drug addict. And corrupting innocence. And then Charm says something like, "The past is the past, but hey, at least you didn't kill anybody. You're gonna kill me."
Yeah. No, you could totally tell the look on her face too. It's like, well, she definitely killed somebody then.
Yeah.
And now the way she delivered that line was like wild. Like, "I use the darkness in me to corrupt the innocent." Like, all right, calm down, Batman.
Like you said, we said off the air that like well acted movie. I think really well acted movie. All these people are great actors. But man, so there is some cringy ass dialogue.
There's some awkward dialogue to try to deliver. And they do their best, but it just does not land.
Faith hears something and goes downstairs to investigate. She finds a window open, snow on the ground. She goes into the garage, and we see a shadow move and monster noises as Faith grabs a bat with nails in it. Well, I thought it was a bat with nails in it. Turns out it's a bat with screws in it, so it's even grosser.
Weird, too.
Two people in ski masks walk through her house, and one of them says, "This doesn't feel right," as Faith attacks, yelling, "Get out of my house!"
Mm-hmm.
Faith catches the guy, who we will learn is named Corey, about 30 minutes later in this movie. It goes about 35 minutes before we learn that his character is named Corey. This kind of shit really pisses me off. I really fucking hate this, like, not telling me the names of people so that it's like,
it's not important, Jay, don't worry about
right
it.
Like, you know, I don't know, like I'm all for like show don't tell, but you can't show someone's name.
Oh, I'm sure she probably yelled off screen, Jay, while he was getting beat with the bat, "Oh no, Corey!" You just didn't hear it because the sound mix.
And the girl, but she catches Corey in the leg with her screw bat. And then the girl Liz pleads with her, saying that they were looking for shelter from the blizzard. It takes some convincing, but Faith agrees to let them stay. And she cleans Corey's wound. We get this real gross scene where she goes and gets an electric screwdriver to unscrew it, but it goes in further at first because she doesn't have it facing the right way.
And this is the initial point where I was like, what the fuck is going on in this movie? Because I'm like, you're telling me she hit him hard enough to screw it into his bone and she has to unscrew it? And plus, when they came in through the window or whatever and they're roaming around the house looking for stuff, they look like they're just like walked in off a normal street. They don't look like they're cold or anything at all.
They almost look like campers or like hikers.
Like they were hiking, yeah. Weird.
Well, you know, and once again, this movie was kind of billed as like a home invasion monster movie. Yeah. And I, so kind of, I think a, what was that? Don't Breathe.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of, it was supposed to, you know, oh, you think the home invaders like are going to be the bad guy and like you're going to identify with, oh no, but actually there's something worse in the house.
Well, it's like, I was waiting because they give heavy Misery vibes. Or I almost thought that was what, like, oh, you're a nurse or whatever. I thought it was like an Annie Wilkes reference or whatever at the beginning.
It might have been.
And but I was like, so basically, maybe it's going to be she's crazy or whatever, but the people who stopped in are worse than her or whatever. Something's wrong with them. But no.
but we do get a we do get some real goopy blood effects when she unscrews the screw from his leg.
Really good practical effects in this movie.
Which, you know, like I said, the director
has an effects background. Yeah.
Liz asks Faith about the door to Charm's room with all the steel and the slat in it. And then there's a bang and Faith leaves, telling them to not leave that room.
Oh, that door over there. It's porcupine proof. See my map? They come from South America.
Faith fills a syringe and goes to check on Charm, who's crawling around under a blanket up in her room. But then she kind of collapses, so Faith goes to check her temp orally, and we watch as it creeps up to 104 before settling back down. But as we know,
we think
orally is inaccurate.
Mm-hmm. And it starts beeping up again, and then the porcupine monster comes
out. I did love that. I thought that was kind of a great... so she grabs Faith and like pulls her into the blanket. We get a bunch of like
slamming shit out of her on the ground. And she finally rolls out of it with the syringe emptied into the monster slash her daughter. And she's got like a bloody nose and a black eye.
Yep. Liz and Corey have heard all this, but Faith tells them she will set Corey's knee if Liz will patch the window they broke when they entered the house. We get a brief scene of Charm waking up and using her tears as water for her watercolors.
Yep. Very metal.
Also, I fucking loved like three or four scenes of them zoomed in on the character's eyes of them all waking up at different. I thought that was so fucking funny that it happened three separate times.
Well, I almost thought at certain points because of the dialogue and some of the shots that it was like supposed to be almost a horror comedy. But it didn't go that route at all.
I think a lot of people like initially kind of thought it was going to be a horror comedy. Faith tells Liz she got the house from a hospice patient who passed away and left it for her in the will, and agrees to let Liz and Corey stay in the guest room, but to stay away from Charm. Charm tells Faith she heard the voices and asks to talk to them, but Faith says no, and Charm growls at her like a monster.
Yeah.
We get some inner monologue from Faith about Charm's condition, mentioning not wanting her to slip away again, as we get shots of Charm freaking out and science-y stuff.
Yeah, science-y stuff. Glowing beakers, potions being mixed.
Yep, all those things nurses do.
I visited the alchemist.
We get a brief scene of Liz and Corey talking, and we learn that Liz is a real Jesus freak and carries a taser with her.
Cool.
That's kind of the only thing that we glean from that scene.
And her brother's super horny. We learn that too.
We learn that he's horny all the fucking time. Faith checks Charm out, and they chat briefly about Liz and Corey, and Faith tells Charm she can have dinner with her and the other two. Faith picks up a copy of Green Lantern number 49, which is Emerald Twilight number 2. We never see Emerald Twilight number 30, and man, that's the best cover because it had that glow-in-the-dark cover.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Corey sneaks into Charm's room, and they talk for a bit, and Corey mentions Charm's drawings of porcupines, and Charm talks about how she hates them, and that once at a zoo, her mom was trying to baby score drugs.
I guess.
And Charm wound up in the porcupine enclosure and got stabbed a bunch by one of the porcupines.
And it shows the porcupine, like, rushing at her. I'm like... They don't do that.
And she shows Corey all of her like porcupine scars on her chest. And then Faith calls them down for dinner, and Charm ominously says, "No one's getting out of this zoo."
I'm not getting out of the zoo, Jay. And by the way, did you know porcupines are from South America?
Also, Charm mentions that Faith keeps drugs in a suitcase in her garage.
Yeah. The hard stuff's out there, Jay. Yep. We just gotta go get it. Just more antifreeze.
At dinner, Liz prays, which sets Faith off about how wasn't it God's plan for them to freeze to death? Like, You know, essentially, I'm being kind. I'm letting you into my home. What if I didn't? What if I just kicked you out? Which, I mean, she raises a good point. And how she should feel no guilt. Charm then talks about Emerald Twilight and how Hal Jordan didn't feel guilt for killing the Guardians and all of the Green Lantern Corps because he thought he was doing the right thing, but maybe he should have felt guilt. And then Faith starts convulsing on the floor.
Yes.
Sorry, Charm starts convulsing on the floor. I get these fucking people with their names being so similar. I got them fucking confused a bunch in my notes. So there's one that I didn't catch.
Oh, yes. And everybody freaks out except for the mom. And then the power goes off. And then so this is when we get our most out-of-pocket comment, I would say, in the entire movie, Jay.
Which is?
When the brothers, they're helping her turn the power back on. And he's like, I think the whole body positivity movement's pretty cool. Because she's a fat chick.
Also... I don't know that what Charm describes is exactly what I would take from the Emerald Twilight story. But also, if you're trying to obfuscate the fact that the actual story is about Hal Jordan becoming the villain, Parallax, and transforming into a monster, that maybe that your main character for all these stories is actually a bad guy or is turning into a bad guy. Yeah, I guess maybe you do obfuscate that fact by being like, oh no, he's a good guy, kind of. He's doing the right thing.
He's doing the wrong thing, Jay, but for the right reasons.
Turns out, no, he's not at all. But man, oh man, that cover of Emerald Twilight number 2 with Hal holding all the rings on his fingers, great, great cover.
Good cover.
The power cuts out, Faith and Corey go to restart the backup generator, and somehow Liz loses Charm in, like, 30 seconds.
No, like 5 seconds. She literally looks away one time, looks back, and she's gone.
She sees shadows of the porcupine monster moving in the fireplace.
I suppose.
And then sees the front door open, and like a hollowed out path leading out of the giant blizzard. And she starts yelling for Charm, and Charm starts talking back to her mockingly.
Yep.
And it was one of those where I'm like, well, clearly that's not her. Clearly there's some kind of monster. Maybe don't go in there.
Nah, I'm going in there. I'm going to use my candy cane for light, Jay.
Liz climbs in using the light from a candy cane, which looks great. Oh my God, I loved that. She finds porcupine quills, and a large porcupine creature appears and chases her.
Not too fast, though. No one catch
her. Right. I think they probably just played the scene backwards of her crawling out of the tunnel.
I think they did.
She gets out, and they just and closes the door, and then Faith opens the door and just finds Charm laying laying there. And I don't know, if I saw a porcupine monster and then closed the door and then opened it and there was a normal person there, I'd probably get the fuck out.
Nah, I think it's basically like the time you saw St. Anthony in the shower, Jay.
Liz tells Corey that she thinks Charm is being held against her will and that Faith drugged them, and that's why she saw a porcupine monster, even though Corey's like, I don't think I've been drugged.
Well, and then she the reason she gives why it wouldn't be affecting him is because he's already on so many drugs. It wouldn't matter, which that also doesn't make sense for later. I don't think that
tracks exactly.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Faith tells Charm a story about Charm being a preemie and how she got through it on her own, but this time they've got each other.
Okay.
Corey finds Faith's suitcase and takes a picture of himself with a Polaroid inside of it. And takes a picture of himself, but then it like drops on the floor. And I thought this was going to come back. I thought like there was going to, like, someone was going to find the Polaroid and that was going to be a thing. Never comes back.
You know, it would have been amazing. They don't open up the suitcase till the end of the movie, and they open it up and it's a porcupine monster suit in there.
Oh, that would have been great. I was going to say they open it up and there's just ominous gold shining on them.
Oh, that'd be good.
He also finds a sexy picture of Faith.
Oh yeah,
in one of the Polaroids, a bunch of drug paraphernalia. You know, like
my crack spoon.
Yeah,
the usual.
all that good shit. And then he sees a picture of a man with a porcupine monster standing behind him, and he just puts the suitcase back.
Yeah, nothing to see here, folks.
Corey then runs into Charm's dad, who is the other porcupine monster. And he taunts Corey and takes the picture of Faith out of his pocket and then just lets him go.
Nighty night.
Meanwhile, Liz has found an album full of Faith's drawings.
Cool, cool.
And then there's a weird scene where, like, she's freaking out about, like, a picture she saw in the drawing. Mm-hmm. And I could not figure out at all what she was freaking out about.
And I really don't understand what the whole she's being held against her will thing is. Because it's like, she lets her come out and come to dinner with you guys. She's not locked in that room 24/7.
Right.
I don't get why they jumped to that conclusion immediately.
Faith fantasizes about Green Lantern, Hal Jordan coming into her room, and them fucking.
They fuck.
And while she's busy flicking the bean, Liz sneaks into the room and steals the key to Charm's room.
Hal Jordan gives it to her good, Jay. That power ring can do things.
I love the scene where, like, Liz looks up, and it's just Faith masturbating. And, like, and she just, like, rolls her eyes and leaves the room. I thought that was so fucking funny.
Would have been so much better if Hal Jordan used his ring to make hands to have sex with her across the room. And he's like, I really wish I was in Coast City right now.
Jeff, they would have done that, but one, the budget. And two, I don't know how they got away with this without getting sued by DC Warner Brothers.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
She goes to talk to Charm in her room, and Charm is not interested in what she has to say, but demands Liz take her picture with the Polaroid. I thought this was going to amount to something.
Yes.
It did not.
I thought surely she would take the picture because she's not convinced that she's a monster at this point or
and
whatever.
And then she would look at it and see the porcupine monster.
Yes, like standing behind her in the picture or whatever. Yeah, but no, that never happens.
Yeah, I 100% thought that's what was going to happen.
They totally telegraphed that and it never happened.
Charm asks, if she is a monster, then Faith shouldn't feel guilty about locking her up. And Liz says she isn't a monster. Charm then turns up the space heater and starts to heat up, causing her to have a real gross transformation.
What
and Liz
you see is what you get, Jay. I'm going to bleed from my eyes now.
She, like, bleeds from her eyes and mouth and then, like, starts to, like, basically, like, burn. Like, becomes, like becomes, like, basically, like, a burned-out, like, skeleton.
It gave me flashbacks of when the Thing transforms from a human into that human-head spider creature, where his flesh kind of just melts away, giving heavy vibes from that.
Looked great. Looked really cool. Corey tries to convince Liz to leave with him, but Liz wants to stay and vanquish the demon.
Some things you just can't pray away.
Faith wakes up and goes to get the suitcase, but notices it's been tampered with. Once again, I thought this would be the chance to, I don't know, have her find the fucking Polaroid on the floor.
Maybe, yeah.
She goes looking for answers, and Corey and Liz knock Faith unconscious and tie her to a chair.
And here comes one of the most cringy moments in the entire movie.
Where Liz tries to convince Faith that Charm doesn't need medicine, she needs God.
And her lab is quite rudimentary, Jay. I've seen a lot of crack labs, and this one's pretty rudimentary.
In my time in the church, I've seen a lot of crack labs, and yours sucks. Faith is able to get free just in time for Corey to come tumbling down the stairs and land on the back of the porcupine dad monster.
Oof.
But Faith is able to save him. Faith and Liz fight, and Liz gets the stun gun and knocks out Faith.
No, come back.
Meanwhile, please. Corey is getting chased by Porcupine Dad throughout the house.
Porky Dad, yeah.
Liz flees into the snow, telling Faith she's on her own. She says, "You're on your own, Nightingale," which I think was the alternate title of the movie.
Yep.
Corey stumbles out bleeding and says to Faith, "What if he, God, won't take me?"
Mm-hmm.
And Faith holds his hand. Porcupine Monster then jumps down from up above and lands on Corey, killing him.
Of course. Yes.
Faith goes to leave and starts to hallucinate. Whenever she hallucinates, we get like these like scenes.
The strobing effects.
Strobing and
lightning.
Like, scenes back to a club and like a bunch of scenes. And briefly, in one of those moments, we see what looks like Liz's hair because she has a very distinct haircut.
Yes.
Disgusting
Rastafarian dreadlocks
on
that white women do now, apparently.
But yeah, we see that. And we've seen it a couple times before, but I think this is like kind of one of the most intense scenes before the climax.
Yes, she has brief, like when she talks to her daughter at the beginning, she has like a little flash of it. And then later on, when she's at the dinner table, she gets a couple flashes. But yeah, this is like way more intense.
Suddenly, Faith is being pulled towards her suitcase by her arm. And the heroin is being made in the suitcase as the suitcase lights on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And the suitcase, while lit on fire, melts whatever it's in the crack spoon and then fills up a syringe with it.
Yeah, and this is a point where I was like, oh, she's just fucking crazy, isn't she?
Faith regains control, throws the suitcase out the window, and smashes the syringe. She walks through the house and suddenly there are multiple porcupine monsters. Some she fights, but others she just
lets
be on their own.
I guess, yeah, there's some weird small ones. They're like leering at her the entire time.
With like skull faces, and a couple of them have syringes instead of quills.
Yep.
Faith has this big confrontation with Porcupine Dad. She pulls out a knife and stabs it, and then out of the wound pulls Charm out as electricity swirls around her and Charm. The lights flash and the music swells, cut to black, and I was like, oh, maybe it's the end of the movie.
Nope.
1 week later.
Gotta love that.
Charm is eating breakfast, and the news talks about how the weather is nice. Now after like it's a week later after the 7 day long blizzard
in Kentucky.
And Faith seems happy, and Charm thanks her for pulling her out of the dark. Faith goes outside. We see an ambulance like sitting in the street.
Yeah, you see the light strobing on her.
And finds her suitcase in a bush and finds a picture of her and Corey labeled basement party. Flashback to 1998. Well, first we cut back to Charm asking what's the worst thing she's ever done, and then it flashes back to 1998. Liz and Corey are at a party, which once again we saw it makes sense why we saw Liz's haircut at the in one of the flashback scenes.
Yeah.
They are trying to save Faith, but Liz says she doesn't want to be saved. Corey follows Faith. She injects him with heroin and says, oh, I'm going to come so hard when I pop your cherry. And then Corey ODs and Liz screams for help. We then see flashbacks to earlier in the movie with no one there, and it's just Faith and Charm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's some kind of Munchausen by proxy thing.
Yeah, Tyler Durden was never there. It was all him.
And it wasn't Liz who broke the window. It was
a tree
falling.
A tree branch.
I think we assumed that like at some point Charm was able to get away and started to carve the tunnel.
Who did she beat with a bat is what I want to know.
That's a good question. Also, we just see her fighting with no one multiple times. So she beat no one with a bat. But yeah, when she pulled Charm out of the snowdrift or whatever, it was because Charm was trying to escape out of it.
Yeah. And I'm still wondering how the hell she fit in that tunnel, but whatever.
Right. The porcupine monster appears behind Faith as What Child Is This starts playing again. And we see Charm's frozen corpse grasping the picture of her and Faith at the zoo from when she was younger. And the ambulance and emergency services are there for her as the credits roll on top. End of movie. Yeah, no, I agree. There was
you fumbled it. You fumbled it at the goal line.
do it? Shall we? All right, I know you, Jeff. I know last time you kind of reamed me for starting with Broken Bowl, Brilliant Bowl, but I think we need to do it again because I think that's kind of my biggest.
All right, let's start.
All right, my Broken Bowl, the thing I would fix. I would have either done a thing where Charm was the one who was a drug addict. And this is Faith trying to pull her out of it. Then you get rid of that entire last 10 minutes.
Yep.
And so the porcupine monster is like the manifestation of Charm's drug use.
Yeah.
Or have there actually be a porcupine monster.
No, that was my broken bulb was you need to pick a lane. This thing needs to either be a metaphor for drug abuse or it needs to be a porcupine monster movie.
Because then I thought, oh, you have Charm be the one who's going through, like, who's the one who's abusing drugs. So she's detoxing during a blizzard.
And yes, that would have made sense because I don't understand what is wrong with the mom. That's the whole thing that really threw me off at the end. Because it's like, okay, is she a drug addict? Is she just insane? What's actually going on with her? Because it seems like she's recovered from being a drug addict because all this stuff is way too intricate to pull off if she was like a heroin junkie. And she wouldn't be able to maintain this house and her lab and everything else that we see her in flashback she's actually doing. It's just there aren't the two other people there. But the things are happening between her and her daughter. It's like the two people who broke in through the window just weren't there
right
for those things. So it's like, it doesn't make sense that she was just like high on drugs. It's like, is she in some kind of psychosis? Is it like you said, is it like a Munchausen's thing where she thinks her daughter is sick? Is her daughter actually a drug addict too? And she's going to like these extreme lengths because she knows what will happen if she goes down the same road. Is it like, is it the psychological damage from killing Corey by accident? It's like, they never make it clear.
No, I agree.
And they don't give me a porcupine monster. So it's like, what was the point of this movie?
And the porcupine monster looks so fucking cool. Yes,
it's like, you put so much time and effort into making a badass porcupine monster. First time I've ever seen a were-porcupine, Jay.
For listeners, you know, you can make your own decisions whether you want to watch this movie or not. It's like a giant, like, were-porcupine within a human face in the middle of its forehead. And, like, the human face has, like, glowing red eyes and, like, a permanently, like, open, like, angry mouth. But it also has a porcupine head. It looks awesome.
Yes. Amazing special effect. Amazing creature. And it's like, you either need to leave it ambiguous, end it where it flashed to black when she cuts her out of the porcupine monster, and then you could be like, well, either it was a porcupine monster or it was a metaphor for her drug use and she finally got through to her and saved her, or make it a real porcupine monster.
Yep.
And they actually slay it together or whatever and they have a happy ending.
But yeah, but doing this weird third thing where you're not quite sure what's going on with Charm.
And you don't know what's going on with the mom, really.
Yep.
Other than that she killed him by accident however long ago, because the timeline's also incredibly unclear.
But also, yeah, like, we talk about how weird maybe the timeline is.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so her daughter is either way too old or way too young, based on the dates that they're giving, for these things to make sense. And especially her age is like super unclear, because it's like, if she was a party girl in 1998, by the time the movie happens in 2023, she would be like in her 40s or possibly 50.
Right. No, it I don't know. It's so strange. I don't know.
It really killed it. It fumbled it. I understand why so many people online were saying you're going to like it for probably the first like 45 and then you're going to hate it. I understand what they meant.
Yep. But Brilliant Bulb, loved the camera work, loved the lighting, loved the monster. All things to praise. Like,
I loved the mom's performance. That was my Brilliant Bulb. She does an amazing job selling this, even though she has some terrible dialogue she has to deliver. She does a great job selling, like, the internal conflict of what's happening to her, trying to save her daughter, but knowing deep down that she can't really save her. She has to do it herself. Because, again, I thought it was going to be a drug metaphor thing, where it's like, only you can save yourself or whatever.
Right.
Other people can give you the tools, but you have to choose the opportunity to save yourself.
Well, I thought especially with the line about how you were a preemie, and I had to, like, you know, you did that on your own, but now we're together. I thought it was, okay, Charm's the drug. You know, yeah, Faith was the drug addict at first.
Yes.
She got clean. Now Charm's a drug addict. Yes. She's seeing that in her daughter. She's trying to get her daughter clean. Her daughter's going through withdrawal, and they're doing this together. Yes,
that's exactly what I thought it was going to be, and I think it probably would have been better if it was that.
And then you have Liz and Corey, like, they're home invaders, but also maybe they're, like, Charm's drug friends. Yes. Like,
see, that's what I was thinking at first, was maybe they're the people that she's getting drugs from or something like that.
Or maybe she owes money to them or something.
I thought they were going to have some kind of ulterior motive where they were there for more than just they got lost in the storm.
They keep hinting that there is some kind of ulterior motive, and there really isn't.
Yeah, there's literally nothing. No, there's literally no point to those two being there, honestly. It could have just been the mom and the daughter and been the same movie, basically.
Yep. But yeah, no, I think all the acting performances were great. Chrissy Metz was great.
Yeah. No, that's why I chose to shout her out, because she had the most, like, emotional weight to carry in this. Weight to carry.
But also, yeah, had all this batshit stuff to deal with.
But it's like, she had to do the whole Annie Wilkes thing of freaking out and, you know, going crazy at random intervals, but then do the deep introspection and trying to save her daughter, even though she wasn't there for her at the beginning. So she carries a huge amount of guilt because, you know, like she says, you know, I was too into a drug haze when you were born to even know what was going on or whatever.
Right. No, yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, like you said, they fumbled the ball, right? Like, yes.
I thought it was going to be a Babadook, and then they made it into a Fight Club. And the
it was funny you mentioned that. I also said, like, it's a Babadook. Yeah. Like,
no, that's literally what I thought, like, 20 minutes in. I'm like, am I getting Babadooked again?
I hate when I get Babadooked. Let's do Christmas Carol's favorite quotes.
Okay.
Since there are some good ones. Faith handing Charm a thermometer that Charm puts in her mouth. That is not the most accurate. And Charm responds, "My asshole is frozen shut."
While Faith is kneeling down, and Corey says, you know, I think the whole body positivity thing is really cool.
Faith sees Liz fiddling with it, with her cross necklace. Does that make you feel safe? Liz responds, yeah, absolutely. What makes you feel safe? And Faith says, big bats with screws in them.
Which was great.
Which was a great line.
See, you get those kind of lines, but then you get my next one. Your lab was quite rudimentary.
Indeed. When Liz and Corey and Faith have their first like confrontation, I need a doctor. Hey, lady, are you a nurse or something? This is Corey. Then Faith says, no, and you need to get the hell out of here now. And Liz says, ma'am, it's freezing outside. And Corey says, I can't walk. I'm fucking dying. And Faith says, you're not dying. And Corey says, that's like a rule, isn't it? The Hippocratic Oath. And Liz says, that's doctors. Nurses take the Nightingale Pledge. Which, once again, good night, Nightingale.
I'm saying the Nightingale.
And then Corey says, I'm sorry. And then Faith says, that doesn't cover home fucking invasion. And then Liz says, okay, we can debate that while he bleeds all over your fucking floor. That'll be more damage than we meant to cause.
Oh, my God.
Then I have one last one.
Okay.
When you mentioned, this is Charm. When you mentioned you made mistakes before, was I one of them? And then Faith says, I made mistakes before you, after you, and with you. But never you. And I just thought that was such like a touching, heartbreaking emotional line.
You got those kind of lines, and then you got the other ones.
Yep. And I'm like, that line would be so good, would be so better served in a better movie.
And my last one was, nobody's getting out of this zoo alive.
Yep.
That was a very 80s action movie.
It felt so 80s action movie.
I wish Arnold had been saying, and he was in an actual zoo with a porcupine monster.
Yeah, let's get that movie made.
Porcupine versus Predator.
Versus Arnold, who's also there for some reason.
Hey, and guess what? You know where they fought the Predator, Jay? South America. Could have been porcupines.
What? The Predator does kind of have, like, kind of spikes.
He has a porcupine type look to him, yeah. It's all coming together.
Oh, man. Oh, this is just a backdoor Predator sequel about drug use.
Yes, of course.
All right, which one do you want to do next, buddy?
Let's do Christmas wrapping.
All right. Sets, costumes, etc. The monster looked great.
Monster was great. Everybody's costumes were okay. Basically just regular clothes.
I saw the monster get a bunch of hate online, and I really did not get that. Like, it looked so bad. I'm like, I thought it looked fucking terrifying.
It looked pretty good. The parts. Well, I will say the dad version, especially the one he talks to when Corey gets the picture taken, he doesn't look that good.
No.
But the one at the end looks really good.
Well, you see him kind of like wreathed in shadow and stuff. So like you're kind of not sure. Like they do the kind of thing where like, okay, there's a porcupine monster, but like you don't exactly see it. But like when you see it's like creepy hand come and like take the picture out of
that part
Corey's pocket was, it was great.
But no, the big one at the end before she stabs it and you see it like in its full glory, that looks pretty cool.
No, I thought the worst one, like the only one that made me chuckle was when Liz saw it in the snow tunnel. Yes,
the tunnel one does look really goofy. And
there's
goofy.
Just this little face.
Yes, it looks very goofy.
Like that was the one where I was like, what? All right, Christmas spirit. How Christmassy is the movie? How Christmassy were the kills?
Not that much on either account.
For either of them.
Yeah. I'd say there's not a whole, like we said, there's some cool lighting effects that they do with the LED Christmas lights in the house. But other than that, I mean, Christmas isn't really central to the plot, and it's because it was not a Christmas movie originally.
Yep.
And, the kills are not Christmassy.
Not at all. But yeah, no, as longtime listeners know, I'm a sucker for a movie that's lit by a lot of Christmas lights and has, you know, Christmas lights used as your only light source or as your main light source or, you know. And so this had that in spades, and I thought that looked great.
Yeah. If only it had been accompanied with a Christmas Bloody Christmas style plot.
Right.
That would have been good.
Or, you know, that was the thing. Christmas Bloody Christmas, I think, had even more of that and was more Christmassy. All right. Well, we've been dancing around it, Jeff. It's time for our final rating. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our movie on one of three categories. Is it ho-ho-ho hilarious? Is it seasonally scary? Or is it you'll be sorry? Jeff.
I had to give it a you'll be sorry, just based on the fact that it has no satisfying conclusion. You're going to probably enjoy the first, I would say, 45 minutes to like maybe an hour, and then the ending is going to totally let you down. Like I, we talked about before, this movie really needed to pick a lane. It tried to do both. It tried to do the Babadook, and it tried to do the like Psycho thing, and it tried to do the Fight Club thing. And it made the main story and the main thrust of what it seemed like it was going for, the whole drug addiction thing and the generational effect of that, the mother going through it and then trying to save the daughter from the same fate, lost pretty much all of its impact because of the ending.
Just completely different. It's like a fart in an elevator. Yeah. Like,
and then the weird inclusion of them being Jesus freaks added really nothing to the plot. It's like the whole drug thing could have been handled without that character trait being added in, and it made for some weird, awkward dialogue. And I can't recommend it just based on that. I think you're going to be disappointed. I wish I could recommend it, because there's definitely the bones of a good movie in this. And honestly, that's why these hurt me more than the crap ones that are just garbage and we can laugh at, because it's like, I see where this movie could have been a good movie and then they just kind of fumbled it.
That's it. Like, I wanted to like this movie. It's not perfect. It's far from perfect. I think we said, like, it's like two off the air. We said it's like two steps removed from a good movie. I think you made a very good point. You're like, this is almost a The Leech.
Yes. You can see The Leech. It's almost breaking the surface, but it can't quite get there.
Yeah. And so, like, but I'm like, but like, yeah, like you said, like the bones are there, and I'm like, I want to give this like a weak, like very weak, like seasonally scary. Like, you know, the first hour or so, even I'd say maybe the first hour 25 until the last about 10 minutes of the movie or so.
The last 10 minutes really kills it, but it started to go off the rails for me about at the hour mark.
Yeah.
Where they start with the chair interrogation. Yep. I was like, this is starting to get weird.
But like, you know, but yeah, things that I loved. I loved the monster. I loved the lights. I loved the camera work. I don't think it was great, but like, it's almost there. It's almost.
Yes, it's like we're standing on a hill, and on the next hill, we can see a good version of A Creature Was Stirring, but we're just not quite there.
But yeah, it was just like it. I thought it was going to be like a darker, lower budget Babadook. Mm-hmm. And as someone who wasn't crazy about Babadook, like that, the fact that this had me more intrigued than Babadook had me kind of excited. And like, I don't know. It just kind of crumbles apart. And I don't know. Maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe I'm dumb as shit. But there were things where I'm like, at the end, I was like, I did kind of like that. Like, not enough to like give a wholehearted ho 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 hilarious or seasonally scary. But I'm like, kind of a weak one. Like,
I kind of flip flop back and forth between ho 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 hilarious and you'll be sorry. Because I was like, I guess in a way you could, if the ending was, because it was kind of funny to me in a way that's like, oh, I just wasted an hour and a half basically for no reason. But no, I was like, I don't, if it needed to pick, because if it had been if they'd given you more hints throughout the thing that it was going to be, she was alone there the whole time or whatever type thing, and the daughter was already dead or something like that, I think it could have worked. But they laid so much groundwork for other plots. And that's kind of why it's like one of the main things I wanted to criticize was the writing. If the writing had been stronger, especially like the dialogue, but just in general, I think it could have pulled it off better, because like we said, they lay plot threads that go nowhere. Like the religious angle goes nowhere. Them having some, they act like they have some weird ulterior motive, which goes nowhere. The whole mom's drug history or whatever goes nowhere.
And then yeah, like how long was Faith dead for? Like, was she dead for a
charm.
Long charm? Yeah. fuck, did it again. Yeah, like, was she dead for a long time?
Yeah, because her body looks like she's been out there for more than a week.
But yeah, supposedly the snowstorm only lasted a week. We see her jump out the window. She's mm-hmm. the one that jumps out the window instead of Liz to leave. Yes,
in the flashback.
But the way it looks more is that she dug her way to like freedom and then got tangled in like the tree and like died of exposure.
Yes, we see her jump out the window very clearly, and it's like, so she only made it like 2 feet, or did she make it a lot farther than that? It's like, it's hard to tell, honestly.
Yeah, like you and I were talking about what off the air again, like, because you were like, I think she's in the woods, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure she's right by the street.
Yeah, like, which it's like, that doesn't make sense. Unless they're trying to say that the whole porcupine thing was she got stabbed by the bush and died. But I was like, what kind of bush is strong enough to impale a girl?
Right. Which then, like, did she jump out, like, so did she jump out, like, the second story window and get impaled on the tree? Well, no, that's not what happened. Like,
you see in the flashback that supposedly what really happened, that she goes out the ground floor window.
So, yeah.
She's yelling at her to come back or whatever, and she's like, no, I'm not coming back.
But I will say, certainly, and I mean, not, you know, to certainly disparage probably one of the worst movies we've ever seen, this does do a better job of whatever the fuck Barricade was trying to do. And yeah, that's at least one small positive. I was literally sitting there and I'm like, oh, this is kind of like Barricade, but way better than Barricade was.
Well, I mean, Barricade was another, like, failed imitation of the Babadook. So, well, yeah. I guess the Babadook was probably after Barricade, but...
But also a what's real, what isn't real, like, no, very, very similar to...
And a whole grief-based story.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, it could have been so much better.
Yes, this is, unfortunately, that's why I said these hurt me the most, the could have beens.
I think that's a great way to put it.
They hurt me more than the never would.
Yeah, like, yeah, yes, almost hate this more because, like,
you see,
we weren't
potential.
Expecting Mother Krampus to be good.
Yes. It's like, you see the potential in this, and that's what makes it hurt more than if it had been a fruit peaches, where you were never expecting anything good.
Well, Jeff, did you think we're wrong?
Yeah.
Did you think maybe we're going to get some clothes for Christmas?
We're probably totally wrong, Jay. It's probably a masterpiece.
Oh, totally is. Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's so good, guys. Or also, it's so bad. This one I had to pick because it was wild. It's a 10 out of 10 review.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm giving it 10 because I need to sell it, so hopefully this helps. !!
Ah, okay.
People actually have to get financing talk, so-called actors into being in this absolute garbage of a film. It is so bad, it actually hurt watching it. Remember, they gave it 10 out of 10. They'll explain why. I wanted to see how bad it would get, and wow, it actually surpassed any idea I've had of horrible. The fact that these actors agreed to be in this film alone scares me, so I guess that makes it a horror film? I'm thinking that's the new definition of the genre. If the movie is horrible, then it's a horror movie. I gave it 10 to be like the makers of this film, fooling myself and thinking it was great. Although, if you want to have fun, buy this film, invite your friends over, and keep saying, oh my god, this movie's so great. I hope they make a sequel. I don't understand what this review was at all.
I guess it's a long, sarcastic rant to say that he thinks the filmmakers are pretentious and didn't make a good movie.
But I gave it 10 stars, so people wouldn't think that I'm gonna run, like, I don't understand. And then what are you trying to sell? I'm so fucking confused, because I thought, oh, was this person mad and they're trying to sell their own, like, movie script, and they're mad that this movie maybe got picked up instead of... I was so fucking confused by this, and I was just like, well, I'm gonna have to read that one.
No, I can see why you picked that one. You ready?
Yeah.
You ready for a 5-star review of this thing?
Oh, you know it, buddy.
I didn't know what to expect, but this movie absolutely floored me. The blend of addiction, religion, and motherhood with a practical, nightmarish creature was wildly refreshing. Chrissy Metz gives a career-redefining performance. Raw, vulnerable, terrifying.
And she does a good job.
She does a good job. I'm not going to fault that. The creature design, top tier. It felt real, not like a CGI mess.
I mean, yeah, well, yeah,
every transformation scene had weight, Jay. And weight. And
for Fatboy Summer.
Yeah, and the saturated lighting and synthy sound design gave it a dreamlike, almost Galio vibe. Is it perfect? No. But it's, why'd you give it 5 stars?
Right.
But it swings for the fences, and in a sea of generic Christmas horror, this one sticks the landing. If you like the Babadook or Saint Maud, give this a shot. Nightmare fuel to many, and to all, a terrifying night. Note: I've seen some criticism of my review and wanted to put in this note. Yes, I consider the generic remakes of endless Christmas horror movies like Black Christmas and Silent Night, Deadly Night to be trash. Don't at me.
I mean, I don't know that there's endless remakes of Silent Night, Deadly Night. And honestly, there's only been 2 remakes of Black Christmas.
Endless, Jay.
Endless.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, and I was sitting here thinking too, I'm like, There's The Leech. There's like, you know, like there are movies that do what you wanted this to do better.
Yes.
And but instead you're like, this movie's great. It's not perfect, but I gave it a perfect score anyway. Here's one similar. I found a 10 out of 10 review. Definitely a watch. I mean, like I said, I'd recommend it. You wouldn't, you know,
I wouldn't.
Reviews are mixed. Yeah. like, you know, and even then, I gave it a weak Seasonally Scary. Definitely a twist. Loved it. It's honestly the best horror film I've seen all year.
This person even watched this movie.
For a porcupine, as a creature, wasn't too sure, but loved the psychological twist. Oh, that's the thing that I hated. Also, that was the thing on your review. It's like, oh, the twist was great. It's like, No, that's literally what lost. I think that's movie. What lost both of us.
Yeah.
I literally leaned in my chair, even at the end, saying, WTF, OMG, LOL.
Oh, cool.
Won't spoil anything. Definitely had a lot of emotions. That was unexpected, but really good. And the last scene, WTF, very unexpected, which I loved. Most horrors are all basic and expected. Not this one, LOL. I give this a 10 for sure. If you like a good horror movie, this is worth a watch. Hell, even if you don't like horrors, it's definitely a good movie to watch. I've been telling everyone I know to watch it. The only thing was the religion thing, but I think it sucked more of it. I think it sucked me more in since I got that. Other than that, worth the watch. I don't even know exactly what they said, but I feel like they're wrong.
Yeah. You got any more?
I've got a couple more.
As I say, I've got 2 1-star reviews for it, Jay.
I've got 2 1-stars, and then I've got kind of a middle of the road, which I was like, I kind of agree with, but don't agree with, so.
All right, Jay. 1 star. A Creature Was Confusing. I love these titles. This movie is what happens when someone takes a good idea and strangles it with metaphors. I kind of agree.
Yeah, kind of agree.
I came for a cool monster movie set at Christmas.
Me too.
What I got was a preachy, slow-burn psychological drama where the creature barely shows up, and when it does, it looks like a weird porcupine cosplay in some scenes and a thing like horror in others.
Yep.
The pacing was glacial. The characters talk and talk and never do anything. Especially the brother and sister don't even get what the point of some of their conversations were. Especially given the ending when these conversations didn't need to actually happen because the main character wasn't present and she was imagining the whole thing. The twist at the end made no sense and felt like it was thrown in just to be deep. Sorry, but a film about addiction and religion doesn't need to be this joyless. The only thing stirring was me attempting to stir myself while I was watching the movie.
Solid. 1 out of 10. Wow.
Wow.
Well, this was something, all right. And that something is horrible.
Yeah, okay.
There's a something horrible joke in there somewhere.
I'll hear you out.
I don't even know where to start with any kind of in-depth review, as this fiasco of a film has no real beginning or end. It's just an endless loop of awful that doesn't deserve anyone's attention. Well, I wouldn't call it a fiasco. Like, I think yeah. I think that's getting a little harsh, guys.
No one's ever really gone.
And then this is one of my favorite things. Unfortunately, IMDb requires 600 characters for a review of a film that needs only 4. Yuck. I love when they tell me, like, oh, I'm just going to keep writing because I don't have enough to write a review.
Yeah.
It was filmed in Louisville, Kentucky, a city I lived in for over 25 years. Louisville will not be adding that to any attempts to lure other productions. I really enjoyed this director's previous work, but this is a new level of bad.
Okay.
A little harsh, but...
Yeah, it's on the harsher end, I would say. I don't think it was that bad. All right, Jay. 1 star. 0 stars if I could.
Oh, shit!
A Creature Was Boring. Imagine locking yourself in a house on Christmas Eve with a Hallmark mom, a mall goth demon hunter, and a sarcastic guy who looks like he wandered in from CW's The Flash.
Oh, he was my favorite character.
And then watching them argue for 90 minutes while a porcupine monster crashes through the drywall like a disgruntled team mascot.
I was going to say like Sonic the Hedgehog.
The movie wants to be Hereditary or The Babadook with Tinsel, but ends up feeling like an after-school special mixed with Fight Club. Every 5 minutes, someone stares into the middle distance and says something profound about guilt or God or whatever. It's like therapy, but louder with a porcupine. the creature. Picture a Hot Topic plushie that got dunked in barbecue sauce and given a gym membership for most of its appearances. The last one, I will say, was pretty decent. The twist, let's just say if I wanted this much gaslighting and confusion, I'd go home for the holidays. 1 star for the lighting gels, which were apparently working harder than the script.
Do you want to know what's wild, Jeff?
What?
1 out of 10 stars, 0 star if I could.
Oh my God.
I watched this movie until the end just to see how bad it could be. Well, I mean, that's when the real bad stuff happens, is at the end. This is the worst infused Christmas idea movie possible. The fact that they make the parallel between use of drugs and demon and this old trick that love of Christ gonna save you is absolutely disgusting, because they put the idea that medicine and mental health is not going to save you. I don't think they do that, but okay. I don't think that's what happens. Anyway, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the extremely poor scenario or the bad acting or bad lighting. Once again, the acting was pretty good and the lighting was great. Most of the actions and decisions of the characters are completely undeliverables and go against all logic, which, I don't know. If we're meeting the movie where it's at, it all makes sense that none of the logic makes sense.
Yeah.
I am a big believer that it is possible to make a good movie, especially horror, with a very small budget. Here, it is not the case.
Okay.
I don't know. Part of me was like, were we watching the same movie?
Sometimes I think we weren't, honestly, with some of these reviews.
Like, you've got the same idea, but then you've got things that just like don't make sense at all. And like, I didn't get the like, Christ is going to save you. No, we're also supposed to think that Liz is also maybe not a great person. Like, I think that's kind of like woven throughout. Like, I don't know. Very, very strange review. I don't think you watched all of the same movie that Jeff and I watched.
Yeah. Very odd.
All right. Then my last one, like I said, kind of middle of the road. Maybe a little more along the lines of maybe what we were both kind of thinking. 6 out of 10. Christmas Creepy Time. I love some of these titles. Yeah. The trailer kind of made this seem like it was going to be a creepy home invasion movie, which...
Yeah, it did.
But boy, it is not. It's a straight up creature movie. It's also not that.
Yeah.
Think werewolf movie, but not a werewolf.
Yeah, we're a porcupine. We've established this.
LOL, it's bizarre, but fun. I loved the saturated colors and the look of the movie. We both did. It was well acted and the gore work was outstanding. Hey, yeah. things that you and I agree on. Funny and over the top practical effects will always win me over. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And surprisingly, it had a twist ending I did not see coming. Well, okay. I wouldn't say surprising. It was surprising, but in the bad way.
Yes, I was going to say I did not see it coming, but I think that's because my mind didn't want to believe that that was true.
If you like a silly, weird horror comedy, i.e. Slaughterhouse, which, once again, we thought this could have been a horror comedy, but it's not.
Yeah.
Then check this out. Always glad to add another Christmas horror to the yearly rotation, which 100% always glad to add another Christmas horror movie.
Yeah, honestly, that guy might have been like me when I saw Hereditary and I thought it was supposed to be a horror comedy when the girl gets her head knocked off by the pole.
One of those movies where if I had seen it in theaters, I probably would have laughed.
I did. I did laugh. And then I got angry looks from people around me.
From that lady who was when we saw the preview for Chero, and I kept crackling about how bad the CGI monsters looked.
Yep.
Do you have any more?
Nope.
All right. Well, Jeff, let's take, I don't know, Liz.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Faith.
Faith. Yeah.
And put her on our naughty list. I don't know. She's better than Terrence Shade.
I was going to say, yeah, that's pretty much the only person she could probably beat. Because, I mean, she really doesn't do anything in this movie. She doesn't even kill her daughter. So,
yeah.
I mean, honestly, she might be below Terrence Shade because I'm pretty sure he murdered those kids. She wasn't even able to kill her daughter.
She did kill Corey by... Well,
by accident.
By accident.
By the drug overdose. I don't know. Maybe she's got a full syringe of heroin. She could be dangerous.
I don't know. I still think Terrence Shade's more of a loser than...
Oh, he's definitely more of a loser. I was just going off who's more dangerous.
I don't know.
She's got a bat with screws in it. I guess we could put her above Terrence Shade.
Yeah. And man, or if not, yeah. I don't know. She does have the bat with the screws in it. Why not? We still haven't found... Terrence Shade, you're still bottom of the barrel, dude.
Yep.
Well, Jeff, it's time for this.
Okay.
Day.
Did you get the Selena Gomez Oreos?
You fucking know it!
I knew it. I saw those in the store the other day, and I'm like, Jay's getting those.
But also, all the Green Lantern talk. Superman EL Fudge Stripe cookies.
Oh, nice. Strong berry.
Strong berry.
It's going to make me strong, Jay. How strong is your berry?
I'm going to strong so hard when I pop your berry.
Yeah.
Gross.
Gross.
And then, yeah, we got some Selena Gomorios.
Oh, yeah. See what Selena tastes like.
I love me some Only Murders in the Building. That's a fun show. Mm. And to wash it all down, Dragon Fruit Mountain Dew.
Oh, yay. That's what I love. Mountain Dew flavors. They're always so good.
They've never disappointed us once.
All right.
The Joe Bob cooler's put away.
Thank God. All right, I had a little preview of the strong berry cookie, Jay. Let's go in.
Strong is right. Yes, oh, my God.
It's strong.
I could smell it the second you opened the packaging.
Mm-hmm. It's what it says. It's strong berry.
I'd say it's a frosted strawberry Pop-Tart, but mm-hmm. as an EL fudge cookie.
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
You win this round, Superman. Take a little drink of some Mountain Dew.
But I thought it was funny to mix a movie that was heavily had Green Lantern stuff. And here's another DC character. And also, you know, Crypto, because we were also talking about Superman. Man, God. Superman looks so good.
Looks so good. Crypto. I need him. I need that dog. I'll trade my dogs for Crypto.
No, I heard this Friday, so it will have been the 20th. This was the spectacular news I had, because we're going to get delayed a little bit. Pre-orders for Chris LaMartina's next movie go live on the 20th of June.
Ooh.
So it'll be 4 days after we release this episode. But Trick or Treat with Reed Richmond.
Nice.
The B-movie actor guy from WNUF 2, Out There Halloween Megatape.
When's it coming out, did they say?
I don't. Chris did not say that. I just know you can pre-order it or start ordering it on Friday.
Okay. Well, good news. He always makes good stuff.
Yep. I'm so very excited for that. I literally saw that and I like started sending it to people and I was like, look at this!
Only thing that would be more crazy is if we got another movie from you know who, Jay.
Oh, Jeff. I believe it's a little movie called Saturday Bite Fever.
Oh.
That's right. Our boy Simon. This time, I think it's New Year's, and I think it's vampires at a dance club or something.
I'm down for it.
Well, right off the bat, Oreo. Very disappointed that the Selena Gomorios don't have that little... Oh, no, they do. Never mind. I just couldn't find the little perforation.
Sometimes it's hard to find, Jay. Selena's might be smaller than you're used to.
It's getting a little gross here, Jeff. Normally, I'm the gross one.
I was going to say, what do you expect from this show, Jay? I'm just following the tone that you set.
These smell delicious.
Oh, does it, Jay? Does it smell delicious?
Selena's chocolate and cinnamon cream cookie. I think they're supposed to be churro flavored.
Oh, come on. You're calling me disgusting, and they're making us eat Selena's cream.
I love Only Murders in the Building. Martin Short, Steve Martin. Those guys are great.
All the Martins.
Both Martins. Tastes like a fucking churro.
Yep.
Fucking delicious.
Mad scientists at Oreo have done it again.
Hear that, Washington, D.C.? Jeff's coming your way to eat a whole package of Selena Gomez Oreos in front of the Health and Human Services Secretary.
Oh, I'm doing it. I hope he comes out and says something to me, too.
He'll be like, make this healthy again, bitch, as you shove another Oreo in your mouth.
I'm going to shove three more Oreos in my mouth and be like, I'm glad your uncle's dead.
It's going to be this fat boy summer. Shut up, Robert. Shut up, Bobby. This is fat boy summer.
Oh, my God. How long do you think I could stand in front of the Health and Human Services building in a Speedo before they take me away? Eating Oreos and letting the crumbs fall on myself.
Jeff, I don't think there's enough members of ICE to haul you away.
Just be screaming while they're trying to drag me away. Like, it's all for you, Bobby.
start rubbing like the Oreo into your chest.
Yes. ICE operations have ceased. They're attempting to deport Jeff Sears.
To where? We're not sure.
Who knows? There's nowhere safe to drop him. It'd be like dropping an iceberg wherever we put him.
I do think it's cool. So there, I don't know if you're keyed into all the Mountain Dew drama about the relabel.
Yes, I have seen some of that.
Someone pointed out, I think on one of the other new ones, that they are hiding like the image of whatever the flavor is supposed to be somewhere on the label.
Mm.
And so the O in dragon has like a little dragon fruit.
Oh yeah.
I think someone pointed one out for the one that tastes like a bomb pop, which I bought, but I think maybe we tried a couple years ago, but I bought it again just because I wasn't sure. Because it's hard to keep track of all these fucking Mountain Dew flavors.
Summer Freeze, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, but it's summer themed, so I figured it'd be good for Fat Boy Summer.
Yeah, that's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Good thing we're not on the air, Jay.
Yep. Yeah, listeners don't need to know what's coming down the pipe.
It's true. I'm just eating more of these strawberry cookies.
This is fucking terrible. This dragon fruit Mountain Dew was not good.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I've been lightly sipping on it while Jay's been talking, and no, I don't think I get that.
I will say, though, this is the first one in a while where it actually tastes like whatever it's supposed to taste like.
Well, it tastes like dragon fruit for sure.
It's just not very good.
It's something that works well with Mountain Dew.
Bottom of the barrel Mountain Dew. I would probably, I don't know, it's tough. I would probably do the strawberry cookies and then the Selena Gome Oreos.
Yeah. No, the mad scientists at Oreo have won again.
Yep. They're never going to stop winning.
Apparently not.
We need to stop them, or not.
I don't know. Nabisco needs to lend their scientists to these other companies that are trying to make these flavored things.
Oh, man. If you want to get in touch with us, let us know your thoughts about what was this Creature Was Stirring. Or All the Creatures Were Stirring. Let us know what you thought about that movie.
Yeah, let us know what you thought about other movies, too. Yeah, who cares?
Or let us know...
Sorry, listeners. This episode never happened.
Jay and Jeff were high on heroin or something.
Jay was flailing against himself with a package of Selena Gomez Oreos the entire time in an empty room. That was the movie. Goodbye.
That was the episode of the podcast. Get in touch with us on social media. We are at Horror the Number 4 Holidays. Send us an email. We're going to be eating shit all Fat Boy Summer because we're fat boys. But yeah. The fat boys are back, and you know they can never be whack. but if you want to get in touch with us in regards to Fat Boy Summer anyway, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Leave us comments on there. Hit us up on the podcatchers. Leave us 5-star reviews, but 0 stars if I could, and then that'll let us know you're a real fan.
Yep. You're a real sicko?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what our fan base is called, the sickos.
Yep. We got the sickos. Those are the listeners to the main stuff. And then we got the perverts. Yeah. Those are the people who also listen to stocking stuffers.
Yes. I agree.
If we ever get around to blah, 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 man, one of these days I'll learn how to talk. If we ever get around to launching a Patreon, I think our two tiers should be the sicko tier and the pervert tier.
No, I agree. Be perfect.
That's probably a ways away. Something.
Tell a friend.
That's the other
thing. Christmas Podcast Network. Proud to be a member of that. Go check out other shows on the network.
Do you ever think they're not proud to have us?
Yeah, I'm beginning to think they might have regretted adding us to the network.
We're gonna get like an email from Jerry D. He's gonna be like, guys, never again. Like, just stop.
You're not coming on my show. Yep. Get out of here.
You're not coming on my show. You're not part of the network. Fucking leave. Well, you know what we'll say? No, that's fair. That's fair, Jerry D.
That's fair, but of course we're going to have to declare a permanent jihad on you as we did with Dude Dad.
Yep. Oh, man. I saw something the other day, I think from Hostess, where I was like, oh, I could get that for the podcast. And then I went, nope, never again.
Nope.
Never, not after fucking Dude Dad.
Nope, not happening.
Yep. Fucking piece of shit.
Amber tried to show me a video from Dude Dad the other day, and I was like, sorry, I'm in a blood feud with that guy.
Yep. Never.
Can't watch his content.
Yep. He knows what he did.
Oh, he knows. He knows we exist. He totally knows.
The Fat Boy Summer is we're going to have a little picture of Dude Dad's face.
This is brought to you by the Anti Dude Dad Association.
The ADDA.
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
We better get off here before we offend anybody else, Jay.
We'll see you next week, Stocking Stuffer. Thanks for listening. Fat Boy Summer in 2 weeks. Bye.